Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise I think little sister Hannah's got a Bible verse for us this evening. Amen. And she can work her way up here.
Psalms 3:14-19. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, and that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 3:14-19.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Lily, come on. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient unto their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Titus 2.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thought I was doing good when I memorized John 3:16. That's great, man. I appreciate that very much. And it's a real blessing. We'll let the youth lead us in a song or two here, and we'll go right straight into the Word of God and the Scriptures. Amen. We're blessed people.
Amen.
Amen. You feel blessed, saints?
Amen.
Got a brotherhood, seeing the Spirit of the Lord move in youth and speaking to them. Pastor Mark, as he came, he was very moved by our brotherhood. He said, you know, I don't see too many churches. That he just left the church. He said it was all women. He said it had no men in there. He said you had a lot of men and brethren in your church. And he was very pleased. And the fellowship, and the witness and the spirit, he said he had the real liberty to preach the gospel. That means a lot. And I thank you and I commend you all. Amen.
Thou, O Lord, art high above. exalted far above all gods. Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above
saints.
I exalt thee.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
I exalt
we exalt your name tonight, Lord God. Praise you, Lord.
I exalt
thee. You can magnify the name of our Lord tonight. You can find the answers to your prayers. You can find the strength, amen, hallelujah, of his spirit. You can find them burdens start melting away. Amen. As you exalt the name of our Lord and worship and praise him. He's worthy, saints of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I exalt thee.
Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand, saints of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I think we'll just go right on into the Word of God here this evening. Amen. I appreciate it. I know that the youth are always ready, filled up. Amen. We had a preacher come through and rebuked us for calling them kids. He said, them's goats. Amen. And I say that out of just heard it, I guess, most of my life. Amen. And then I think, oh my, even though that preacher needed to get born again, amen, but he was right, huh? And he sure didn't have God's spirit, and he's lost his family, his wife, his children, everything since he's come through here. And I tried to settle him down. I tried to talk with him by the mind of Christ. I saw the things, the mistakes he was making. I tried to counsel him. He come here and filled up mighty, and boy, he had the message and a word for us, but I tried to just sit him down, say, brethren, but I couldn't reach him. Couldn't receive in the consequences. You say, are you telling me that he failed because he didn't receive? I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, he failed because he didn't receive the words from Brother Rob. How you like that if you want to get right down to it, huh? And you say, I just can't receive that. Well, the words from Brother Rob were from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You don't reject the Word of God. I don't care if it comes through Sister Lori, if it comes through Sister Stephanie, if it comes through Brother Johnny, comes through Sister Drea. If it's thus saith the Lord and it's the Holy Ghost speaking, you better receive what it says. It could be perfected through the mouth of babes. Amen. So I'm not exalting myself. I'm exalting the Lord Jesus. Amen. And it was the Word of God. I've seen many reject the Word of God that comes forth out of my mouth, and I've watched the consequences for doing so. We don't reject the word, amen. We bring it forth in love, and you look for the opportunity for hearing ear to receive, amen. How many enjoy a word from God? Come on now, saints, do we receive a word from God? Let's give him another hand. We'll go right in the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This ain't about Brother Rob, it's about the Holy Ghost, amen, the Word of God, the Spirit of God moving in the earth today, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word made flesh, walked among men, personified, Lord God. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, for the same spirit that's came forth, the Holy Ghost that came to us, Father God, the many-membered body. Father, as we submit to you this night, Father, we ask you to utilize this vessel for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, Lord God, to edify, to exhort, and encourage, and enlighten, and strengthen, and bring forth wisdom, Lord God. In Jesus' name we ask this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Y'all love the Lord? You can be seated this evening. Hallelujah. Lord is good to us, brethren. We're serving a mighty God, a good God. Amen. I'm excited about being numbered with the children of God. Amen. Are you excited tonight about being numbered with the children of God? Amen. I am. I'm excited to be part of a brotherhood. I'm excited to be part of God's kingdom. Amen. You know, there was a time in my younger years of ministry I carried weight. I carried a burden. And I still carry weights and burdens, don't misunderstand. But I remember thinking like, I felt this weight like I'd almost be afraid to walk in the Spirit or to move in faith or to speak by faith or to step out. Because like, what if it doesn't happen? What if something, you know, you see, it's not up to me anyway. Yeah, it's Him. It's His Word. It's His will. It's His way. It's His mind. It's His thoughts. It's His ministry. It's His people. If He has one vessel to honor and another one to dishonor, I find no fault with that, brethren. Absolutely don't find fault with it. I've came to a place in my God. I've truly came to a place in my Lord that if He come to me and He says, son, I'm going to put your father in hell. I say, I find no fault with you, Lord. I love you. You know what? And I don't question you, not one bit. I don't question you at all, Lord. You see, and that's, you say, man, Brother Ron, that's tough. But brethren, I trust my God. You know, and the thing is that when I find no fault with Him and trust Him, do you realize that He could say, brother, because of your faith, just like He did with the woman when He said, that, you know, the bread isn't for the dogs. Come on now. You know, but He saw that she did not rise up in her spirit against Him, and she got the petition that she asked for and was even testified about of great faith. You understand? And sometimes things could happen. And we got to come to a place that we're in perfect rest with God. Say, you know what, Lord God? I know that all things work for my good. It's all after your will, after your counsel. And Father God, I submit. I find no fault with you. You realize that there's many people that get aggravated with God? Come on now, saints. I've counseled a lot of people, and a lot of times they won't just come out and say that they're mad at God. But you remember that when there was a lady that was asked to sing a song and she got on our platform when we had a meeting outside and she started expressing things and she was expressing her anger with God. Now, if I got up here on my platform and I said, God, you blessed Andy Beachy. Man, you blessed him and you give him a shelter and you give him a home and you give him a car and you give him all these things. Why not me? Lord, you blessed Brother Whitlow and, you know, and he done this and done that. Why not me? I'm thinking, man, you ain't moved God that way. That does not move God. I've seen ministers get and plead and cry and things like, oh, you know, poor me. Well, I tell you, poor mouthing doesn't move the Spirit of God. We speak, brethren, with a powerful profession of Jesus Christ of what we want the results to be. And we speak this with power and strength. This is what we have to do as saints of God. That moves God. I could move you through pity. I could say, oh man, I'm just not having a good day. And I just, you know, man, things just ain't working out that well and this and that. And you might move a man that way. They do it all the time. We see con men in town. You know, they come up, oh, you know, I'm a little bit down on my luck, you know, and I just, things ain't working out. You think you can help me with something to eat, you know, and they try to move on your emotion. God does not move by emotion. Listen to me, human emotion. Now, I know the Bible talks about bowels of compassion. We've all talked about this. There's a difference between the bowels of compassion and human emotion. There's a most definite difference. God isn't moved. Even to confirm that, He goes on to say He will laugh at the day of calamity, on your day of calamity. You know, He teaches us that in the day of tribulations and persecutions and judgments and these kind of things, that we count it joy and we rejoice. So see, we've got to start removing ourselves from the emotional aspect of humanity. That's flesh. You see what I'm saying? And we're going to be led by the Spirit. Now you say, well, what about joy, Brother Ron? What about joy unspeakable? What about these things of such? And you know, isn't there time? Let me tell you something. We're soul winners. Okay? We're written epistles read known of all men. You know, because people, if they look at us, they don't see the joy of the Lord in our spirit. They're going to have troubles drawing from us and receiving from us. So yeah, it's important. But then yet we could go over to the other side and we see people come in with charisma and they're charismatic. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But they got no victory in their life. No strength in their life. Testifying. It's like a little quote I heard somewhere. Somebody wrote a statement and said it's easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live one. Yeah. And, you know, it's easy to quote the Bible. I told somebody not long ago, I said, you know, the quotes of the word doesn't move me. You know, you could tell me, well, thus saith the Lord, the Bible says thus, thus, and thus, and thus. And I say right back, I say, I understand the word. You know, but again, we got to differentiate the word. The Bible said, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of God. You see, I was talking with Brother Anson last night just a little bit about, you know, he said, well, the Bible says, eat what's set before you. Brother Chuck and I was speaking about the scripture. Brother Chuck said, well, what it says, you eat what's set before you if it's given to you by an unbeliever. Because you're trying to win that unbeliever. But you know, when we're brethren and sons of God, you know, I'm not going to offend my brethren. You know, we sons of God aren't offended. Do you realize that? We're not offended people. If we're walking in offense, we're fleshly. If we're easily offended, we're fleshly. We got to get girded up in our strength and the power of the Holy Ghost so we're not offended. I mean, they called Jesus names and stuff, and he loved them. I think it's pretty offensive being nailed to a tree, huh? And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Huh? I think you'd be offended if I started driving a nail through the palm of your hand, huh? Come on now. I think, man, this is a little offensive there, brother. Oh, yeah. But he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So we got to start differentiating, brethren. And even the word of God has got to be differentiated. It has to be, brother. Line upon line, precept upon precept. We've got to learn that there's places in the scriptures that is speaking to man. There's places in the scriptures speaking to the sons of God. We've got to make ourselves twain, both Lord and Christ. Jesus done that. He was the firstborn of many brethren. We got to do that. We've got an inner man. We've got an outer man. I deal with my outer man differently than I deal with my inner man. Do you realize that? The Bible speaks about being grafted in, a wild tree by nature, being grafted into the kingdom, right? Were you grafted in, brother? And then there's other scripture that says that you were translated into the marvelous kingdom. There's scriptures that say that you're born into the kingdom. Well, which one are you, Brother Rob? Well, I'm not done teaching you some things yet. Let me tell you which one I am. You know, you say, well, Brother Rob, the Bible says that the woman's got to be silent in the church. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. He says he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle. Hey, if he's coming back for some, I want to be whatever that is, huh? Man, I'll say, okay, I'm a bride. Hallelujah. You know, but I'm her husband. So what am I going to do with that? Is that confusing? It could be confusing to the carnal mind, but it's not confusing to the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. I make myself twain, both Lord and Christ. I make myself twain. I've got an inner and an outer man. We say, woe man, woman, it's part of the man. Come from the side of a man. Now, the thing is Brother Anson said he was reading Brother Pike's book, Working Through Headship. And I said, don't read that book as a man. Do not read that book as a man. You read that thing as a man, all of a sudden you start lording over your wife with some ungodly heritage. Oh, shut up, woman. I'm the man of the house, this and that. A man that talks to his woman like that, that's what Jesus does to him. If I mistreat my wife, God mistreats me. I sowed it. I got the power to bind things in heaven and in earth. Okay, I got the power to loose things in heaven and in earth. Do you realize that? And if I'm over here binding some kind of thing up unfoolishly with my wife, he's doing the same thing to me as his bride. So I stand before you, and I'm trying to get you into a mind of differentiation, saying, okay, I got to present myself to you as the bride of Christ, but the Bible says the woman's be silent in the church, so now I'm telling you I'm in error. Because I'm talking to you. I'm up here, and I'm even a supping authority. I'm going to sup authority over spirits and flesh and man, and I'm going to run this church and command this church. So if I'm the bride of Christ, I'm in error. Well, Brother Rob, man, don't confuse me. I'm not confused whatsoever, and confusion's of the devil, and there's no confusion here, but I'm saying I'm going to teach you how to rightly divide the word of God and differentiate the word of God. Now, if he's coming back for his bride. Now, see, some of the churches are teaching that we're going to have this great marriage supper of the Lamb someday. How many have heard that taught before? Well, if I believe it the way they're teaching it, Jesus Christ is a whoremonger. Come on now. Don't get drawn up with me. You know I didn't say that about my Lord. I'm saying if I go to their doctrine, that's what Jesus is. Because if Jesus isn't already married unto his brother and we've brought forth offspring, come on now, he's the husband, we're married unto him. We enter into the secret chambers, the seed that remaineth in us that keeps us from sin. And if the seed that comes within us is from the Spirit of God, okay? So if we've received this seed, there better be a marriage relationship. I'm already married unto him. He said he's healed our backsliding. Amen? Because he's married unto the backslider. He commanded Hosea to go marry the harlot. You see, you might find some revelation there. You see what your outer garment is, what your flesh is. It's the weaker, it's the woman. So if a man could come to the revelation that he's the weaker vessel and he's the woman, then he could submit himself unto God. And when he submits himself unto God and lets him be the head and rule, and he submits unto him, he'll find unity, he'll find strength, he'll find virtue and anointing and power. The woman saved in childbearing. That's what the Bible says. We got to keep our dimensions in order. So then the Bible says that I'm a son of God. One said, but you're not the only begotten one. Well, I'm bone and bone and flesh of the flesh, the only begotten. You know, so we got to have some things in order. As I tell you, there's only one going to make this, what the church calls a rapture, which is no Bible for that. They got absolutely no Bible for rapture. I got Bible for transfiguration, winning the redemption of the body, for a catching up, a catching away. But rapture is not a biblical term. Okay, but if I use their terminology and bring some Bible with it, bring some revelation with it, bring some understanding with it, we're going to have to start understanding what this is. And I say it's already happened. While you're looking for your rapture, I'm telling you, it's already happened. Thus saith the Lord. If I'm lying to you, I'm a false prophet and I'll go to hell. The rapture that you're talking about has already taken place and already happened. And you say, Brother Rob, you cannot say that. I just said it. I'll say it again. It's already taken place. My Bible said I'm dwelling in heavenly places. How did I get there? I was caught away. Come on now. Now if we read in the scriptures, he said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away in the third heaven. How did he get there? He was raptured. Okay, I'm using your term, raptured. He's caught away. All right? But now I'm going to talk about a God that was, a God that is, and a God that is to come. So which one's raptured? If I got a body, soul, spirit. If I'm natural, physical, and spiritual. If I got part of me that's the woman and another part of me that's the man. Which part of me is raptured? Which part of me is already caught away? Which part of me is over there? Now see, I haven't with the redemption of this body yet. That's the transfiguration flesh. The glorification. Okay, but my spirit man is with Christ. It's already hid with him. Nothing could be. Brother Mark brought the message out the other night. And you know, what's funny is these guys will preach against once saved, always saved. You say, do you believe in once saved, always saved? Absolutely, 100% for sure. But do I believe it like they believe it? Absolutely not. I'm not ignorant enough to think I could live in sin and say that I'm saved. If I'm born again, the Bible says that my name was put in a book of life before the foundation of this world. Amen? And nothing could be laid to my charge. Nothing could pluck me out of his hand. Brother Mark built some beautiful scriptures in that holiness unto the Lord, that message. He said, man, he brought it out, man, where we're at. Man, I'm in peace, man. I'm in protection. Nothing could touch me. Nothing could harm me. Nothing could kill me. Amen. Why? Because I've been caught away to the throne of God, hid with Christ. Where he is, he says, I am there also. This isn't confusing, brethren. This is what we need to learn to know who we are in Christ. So we're differentiating. This man part, this fleshly part, this outer garment has not been raptured. It has not been transfigured. It has not been glorified. It hasn't been changed. Okay, but that doesn't mean if this inner translation hasn't taken place, the outer one will never go through this. This is how we learn. This is what we've got to do. We've got to learn to start thinking in the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ. If there's a God that is and a God that was and a God that is to come, are these three gods? The Bible says one God. When Jesus was here walking among men, he said, I and the Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. That's not hard for me to understand. Now, if they were two persons, then I'm thinking, how could he have said that? How could he have said, if you see me, you see the Father? You know, I can't say that. I've got a natural Father. Now we're talking about he's a person and I'm a person. Now, if I say, oh, you see me, you've seen a Father. Now, you know, sometimes we say, well, you know, Brother Rob, you're a lot like your dad. And, you know, I could see some. But I cannot say when you see me, you've seen my Father. It would be improper. He's another person. When you see him and me sitting together, you can say you see both my Father and I. So a lot of times, you know, they get in and they say, well, you know, there's three person God, but they're just one God because they got the same thoughts and they got the same mind, or they're doing the same thing with the same purpose. That's not at all biblical. That is wrong. They're trying to justify their three person ignorant Catholicism Godhead. Now, I don't always teach on the Godhead, brethren. I don't come in on a continuous basis teaching on the Godhead and trying to hurt people or beat people. But I'm saying, brethren, I preach more Trinitarian doctrine than Trinity preachers do because I understand the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. I understand this God in these offices, the God that was, the God that is, and the God that is to come. There's just one God, brethren. And He was there before the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Jesus said these things and they found fault with Him and they wanted to stone Him to death because He was saying, I am, you know, I was here before the beginning. I was here before Abraham. What are you going to say to me when I look at you? I was here before Abraham. You say, come on, Brother Rob. Well, then I'm going to have to throw out some scripture if I can't say that. Were you Brother Rob jumping around? What were you before the foundation of the world? What kind of body did I have? Was it like Brother Branham said, is it a theophany if I appeared somewhere? Was I a person when I was leaping for joy? Was I a spirit? Is there a difference between a spirit and a person? You see, to humanity and to mankind, you would not understand a spirit until it's personified, until it becomes in a person. And when you take the spirit out of a person, when it leaves, then it's a ghost. You understand that? And when the ghost comes out of that person's dead. The spirit has left them. The spirit is life. You understand? I take the electricity out of this light bulb up here and that light bulb goes out. You see, and that electricity would represent the spirit. The Father's spirit, omnipresent, He's everywhere. And then all of a sudden He came and dwelled in the fullness in the person of Jesus Christ without measure. Praise God. But then yet, there was a human spirit there. Why? Because God came, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came over Mary and planted a seed that didn't come from the loins of man. And there was a human spirit there. This is why He said He made Himself twain. There was a human spirit there and a God spirit there. We need to get some revelation on these things because then we can start finding out where our fight's at and where our battle's at. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against my hubby. It's not against my wife. It's not against my brother. Amen. They're just caught in a travail, in a warfare, and they don't understand sometimes the things that's going on. And we put the emotion or the animosities or the vengeance against the wrong part, and we hurt and destroy and make things worse when we got to understand where our battle's at. And we start fighting against the principalities and the powers, and we get people freed and set free. Come on, saints of God, that's what it's all about. We're going to learn to be soldiers for Christ. You know what? When they put military clothing on us and put us in a battlefield, you know why they do that? For we can identify. You know, because we don't want to go killing each other. You know, dude's got a gun. Oh, sorry, that was Captain such and such. You know, come on now. Now, sometimes, you know, we got the wolf that does come in sheep's clothing. I understand that. You know, and there's a lot of deception, a lot of things. But we got discernment, brethren. And we know where and how to identify the problem. Amen. If I took you over to the scriptures, I could turn you over into Revelation, the book of Revelation, second chapter, and it talked about God being was, is, and is to come. I use that for a foundation, okay? And, you know, the thing is we're not supposed to know Jesus anymore the way He appeared as a man. Do you realize that? We're not supposed to know Him after that anymore. We know Him in the resurrection. So if we know Him in the resurrection, what is He in the resurrection? I'm asking you now. How do we know Him in the resurrection if we got the scriptures down? Tell me, where is the resurrection and where is He at in the resurrection? He's right here. He's right here in the many, many body, many-membered body. You know you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Because if you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. And cannot forgive man that you see, then how can you get forgiveness from God? This is how we bind things on earth and bind things in heaven. We say, oh, you know, bless God, I'm a son of God, I got the power to bind. They say, I bind you, Satan. There ain't nobody ever binds on Satan. That's a false doctrine. He's going to be bound in the pit for 1,000 years when Jesus Christ chains him. Right now he's got free reins to go to and fro. You ain't going to bind him. You could resist him and he'll flee from you, but you ain't going to bind him. That's false doctrine. He is not bound right now, brethren. He's killing too many people, destroying too many people. He's climbed up into the upper lintels. You ain't going to bind him. So then what does the Bible say we have the power to bind? Well, I'm just going to let you know the power. I could bind a man and woman together by Jesus' name. Amen. It ain't no devil of hell going to put them asunder. And I can do that. Just like we could bind charity and love and things to people. You understand that? But then yet I could bind God up in heaven. Now listen to me. This almighty, powerful God, this omniscient one, this powerful God, I could bind him in heaven from blessing me. And I could command to have things loose to me. Do you realize that? Boy, you must think you're something special. No, I'm going to talk about a demon from hell, a devil. I'm going to talk about a man that's as fleshly and carnal-minded as could be. The carnal mind is enmity with God, and God hates it. And he could bind the love of God up. He could bind the forgiveness of God up in heaven. He'll never receive it because he can't forgive. Now, I know I teach on these things. I know I'm repentant. But see, we need to start learning how we move the heavens. We're not going to move the heavens through some kind of a weak-willed way. We're going to move the heavens by walking in the Lord. Not through being offended, not through being, you know, this and that. We're going to walk in the Spirit and the power, and it's going to move God. Look at the example. Again, the woman goes for a healing of her child. Oh, God, you're really going to have mercy on me. You're really going to have compassion on me because I got a sick baby. And I know you're this great God from heaven and that you got mercy and you're concerned about my baby. And he said, it ain't for the dogs. Come on now. Isn't that what happened? But you know, he was showing something. The woman wasn't moved by her emotions and her flesh, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. And he said, great faith. Great faith. Another man moved him because he said, sir, I don't even want you to take time to go to my house. I'm not even worthy for you, sir, to come to my home. I'm not even worthy for you. He said, I'm a man, a leader over many people. Paraphrasing the word here. I'm a man, a leader over many people. And I could command one to go do this and command another. And he said, just speak the word. He said, great faith. And when the man got back home, he found out, he said, what hour? What hour was this petition granted? What hour was this healing take place? And it was when the Lord spoke. Amen. Just like the story I told you the other day about the little baby that wasn't going to live down there in Mexico. And I spoke that word. I said, what time? He said, man, I was right there looking at the clock. He said, man, it was such and such time. About 7:45, I believe. We started the meeting about 7. 7:35, 7:45. He said, man, the hair went up on the back of my head and that baby flipped over in that deathbed. Flipped over because we spoke the word of God. Amen. Brethren, we got to start realizing some things. We got to start realizing that our confession and our profession, there's a difference. But brethren, I'm going to tell you something. It creates or it destroys. We have the power to destroy. We have the power to create. You understand that? I have watched through the power of the tongue multi-million dollar businesses dissolved because of the power of the tongue. A littlest member sets things on fire. When you set a forest on fire, you could say millions of dollars worth of lumber, millions of dollars worth of trees if they were going to be cut down and sold, destroyed with a little tiny flame. So we need to know that we're creators. We need to know that we've got the power to speak life. We're no different than Jesus, brethren, sisters, come on. If you limit God, you're only limiting him, saying that we're part of a many-membered body. We're bone of his bone and flesh. He received all power, and then he's given us power. He said, go you and tarry there until you're endued with power. Okay, now we got to measure. He was without measure, but you got a measure, Brother John. Brother Rob's got a measure. But what measure do we have? Some 30, some 60, some 100. What measure do you want to walk in? Let's start receiving this measure. Let's start knowing who we are in Christ. Let's start doing what Jesus done. You want to receive power? Start sharing it. You want to be endued with power? Start endowing others by prophesying, speaking his word, and saying, thus saith the Lord, brother, my Bible says you got life and life more abundantly. My Bible says you could do all things. My Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. My Bible said that he's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. My Bible said his hand isn't short, that he's never left us or never forsaken us. Amen. And we need to start believing that. We're going to need that he has never left us alone, that he has never done that. So if we start believing that, we can start walking in the victory, walking in the joy and the power of salvation. I love my salvation. I'm well happy. I'm pleased. There's a difference in happy and joy. Happy comes from things happening around you that make you happy. Oh, Sister Lori made me a pie. I'm happy. My wife was mad. No, I'm kidding. You understand what I'm saying? You got things happening around you, you could be happy. Oh man, things are going good, man. Hubby's got a good job, making good money, the lights are burning, the house is warm, baby's got new shoes, da 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 da. That makes you happy. But let me tell you, the joy of the Lord isn't by the surrounding things. It doesn't matter, man. I got the joy of the Lord. Amen. Devil could try to kill me, rob me, steal from me. It ain't gonna rob that from me. Come on, brethren. Amen. Amen. We need to get some strength of this word. We got to get away from the milk a little bit, start eating some meat, and getting some strength in us. Amen. We're more than conquerors. We're soldiers for Christ. We need to be eating of the Word of God and partaking of this thing. It might be a little bit bitter, you know, to the mouth or to the belly, or sweet the mouth and bitter to the belly, but we need to consume this Word and get in this Word. So as we start differentiating the Scriptures, and we got to start understanding that we're twain, both Lord and Christ, an inner man and an outer man. We got to know how to speak to the outer man, and we got to know how to speak to the inner man. The inner man, we're going to strengthen him through profession. The outer man, we're going to confess his weaknesses and things and kill him out. The Bible says we have to mortify this man every single day. Okay, you can say, oh, I got saved 19 years ago. I confessed with my mouth. I believed in my heart. And I said, well, praise God. You and Billy Graham both done that, okay? Glory be to God. But the thing is, brethren, there's an activity that happens every day of our life. We're killing out Rob Coons. We're killing out Brother Whitlow. We're killing out Brother Ed, Brother Anson. We're killing this man out. We're getting our mind, our thoughts, our desires, our wants, our wishes, and we're mortifying them. Now, if we're going to kill something out every day, then we're lifeless, right? So that means we got to resurrect something every day, right? Okay? Who is the resurrection? We are the children of the resurrection. Jesus is there, but we're the children of the resurrection. So every day I got to start speaking and bringing something to life. Amen? So how am I going to do this? Through the power of profession, okay, in Christ. And when I start speaking these things and believing this, you say, well, Brother Rob, they were teaching this in the 80s. You know, they called it name it and claim it and blab it and flab it and all these things. Well, let me tell you something. The devil always comes with a truth, but he's going to take a truth and he's going to pervert it into a lie. That's what he did. He told Eve in the garden the truth. Do you realize that? He told her the truth. He said, partake of this tree. It's good. That wasn't a lie. It was good. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told her, he said, man, this will make you as God. That was another truth. It'll make you as God when you start taking of this good and evil. It'll make you God who knows all things. And they were going to partake and be partakers of all things. You understand that? He told the truth. But where the lie came in after he presented all the truth, he told the lie, said, surely you won't die. That was the lie. Come on now. It's no different today. It is absolutely no different today. We're going to have to start taking a hold of this word and receiving this word. And we're going to have to start getting built up. The Bible said we pray in the Holy Ghost, building up this innermost being. Well, does that mean we just walk around praying in tongues? No, we're intercessing in the Spirit of God. Amen? You know, and it might be without utterances. Might be howling between the porch and all, but we're going to get something girded up and built up. Amen? A lot of people put a lot to prayer. I do too, but let me tell you, I don't like this theology of prayer that's being taught today. Well, you know, I'm hungry, so I'm just going to pray about it. The only thing you're going to pray about is when you get a cold, the Lord is going to tell you how to take care of fixing hunger. Come on now. Prayer is communication. Okay? And when you pray, prayer is for direction. You know what he's going to do? When you're praying, he's going to give you some direction. He says, son, off the couch, out the door. Work. Okay, then we no hungry no more. Come on, I'm practical, brethren. While you sit around your spiritual way praying and sitting there hungering and complaining against God, I'm saying, God, you've given me the ability, you give me a mind and a strength and an ability to go out and work and to labor and to provide. Amen, ain't that simple? Come on now, why do we make things so complicated? Well, I'm going to pray for this, I'm going to pray for that. No, I'm going to fix it while you're praying for it. Come on now, what do I pray for understanding? I pray for revelation. I pray for wisdom. I pray that the spirit mind will fill me, and that the spirit mind is action. And when we stop at prayer and we sit back and wait for him to do something, the prayer is to give us direction. Let me put it in terms like this, okay, for you can understand prayer. If God is the great commander in chief and you're the general out on the field, you know, when you call that commander in chief, you say, hey, how you doing, sir? And he goes, look, we're going to conquer that kingdom over there. Okay, praise God. And then you just get all charismatic. We're going to conquer. We're going to conquer. Glory be to God. Let's dance. Hallelujah. We're conquering. You know, shut up. You've been trained. Listen, I'm getting real here. We've been trained how to conquer. This man was trained in weapons and warfare. He was trained in the ability of this country that we're going to conquer. He knows the tactics. He knows their weapons. He knows who made them. He knows what kind of missiles are hanging on their airplanes. He knows what kind of missiles are on the ground. And they know all about it. And they know how to do it. Why? Because they made contact and they learned. Brethren, this is what we're doing. We're drawing nigh unto the Lord. Why do we draw nigh? Because he's teaching and helping and training us. That's what he done with his disciples. He disciplined them into a way and a godly way of life. That was what the Lord done. He disciplined them. That's what those disciples, they were disciplined into this way. Amen. You're going to be disciplined into this walk, into this way. Come on, saints. You know, and why we're just being spiritual and religious, he's wanting to see some action. He says we're written epistles, read and known of men. Oh, what are they reading? What are they reading about you? If you go to Hebrews, you say, I want faith of God. Okay, faith comes by hearing. That's what we're trying to do right now, is bring some faith in here and some strength. So faith comes by the word of God. Okay? And then what is faith? What is the action of faith? It's works. The Bible said without works, your faith is dead. So faith has got action. So we can sit and talk about faith that we've got, but I don't want you to tell me about your faith. I want to see your faith. He said, I'm looking for fruit met under repentance, the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm looking for some fruit. Oh, I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. You know, I asked Jesus in my heart. And I said, well, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. You know, when I was a young man and my wife and I married and we're starting families and stuff like that, if she conceived and was bringing forth a child, guess what? It's going to start showing up. Do y'all agree with that? Huh? You seen my daughter come through here a few days ago. It was pretty obvious that something was taking place in her body, huh? She was carrying a child, right? Do you know what? When you're a Christian, a son of God, it is that obvious that people are going to see when you're the bride of Christ, when you're carrying a child. You call yourself the bride of Christ. You say, I'm the bride of Christ. Let me tell you something. You say, he's coming for me without spot or wrinkle. Well, let me tell you, the woman was saved in childbearing that bride. And if you don't bring forth a child, you ain't got no inheritance, according to my Bible. So if you say you're the bride of Christ and he's coming for you, then I say, I'm going to see you pushed out of shape. Come on now. I'm going to see it in your life. I'm going to see you carrying that child. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm looking in another dimension. Amen. You say, well, Brother Rob, if you're the man and you're married over here to Sister Irene, I understand that dimension, but you're the bride. That, what are you saying? In the spirit? I'm saying, absolutely not. In the spirit, you understand I'm one of Christ. No male, no female there. Where's this bride dimension at? It's in the second, the soul realm, the feminine, the flesh. This is why I said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. It didn't say spirit. One in the flesh. So what is that saying? It's saying if I am the bride of Christ and married unto him, I become one with him in the flesh. And you're going to see on this written epistle the attributes of Jesus Christ. If not, I'm counterfeit. You're going to see Christ in me. You're going to see the hope of glory in me. You're going to see the power of salvation in me. You're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in me. This is just practical teaching, brethren. We can get, don't you know, crazy, and we can just get some exercise and go to church and scream and shout, hallelujah, we're the sons of God, praise God. Man, we got born again, we're saved and everything. You know, I got loosened up a little bit at church. But brethren, you better start believing what we're talking about. Come on now, we better start believing what we're talking about, amen. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, walking with the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. I've been filled with His Spirit. I'm conquering the flesh. I'm conquering the man. I'm conquering that mind. And I'm walking in all power and all authority, amen. I'm eternal, hid away in Christ. I can't die. I pass from death unto life. Come on, that's what we are. That's who we are. We don't have to run and shout to believe that. We got to get this spirit in us. We got to get this joy in us. We got to get this power in us. We got to walk not in the confidence of man, not in the confidence of flesh. We walk in the power of a sound mind in Jesus Christ. We walk in this authority, amen, because we got our hand in the hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give him a hand, saints. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, we got to have some scripture tonight, amen. So I'm going to read a little bit of scripture to you, and we're going to keep going here a minute. But it says in Hebrews 12, 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that might be partakers of his holiness." Let's give him a hand. Amen. That's the word, brethren. Hallelujah. How does God chasten his people today? You know, where does this chastening come to? I want you to turn my Bible here, Brother Chuck, over to Romans 13, if you don't mind for a moment. I go over there occasionally, not because I'm anything, I'm nothing, I'm the least of y'all, but we need to understand the order of God. Let's read here. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." I'm hopefully got some of these wild-haired preachers that are tuned in that are just running everywhere like the Bible says. They run to and fro, you know, and they're accomplishing nothing. Amen. You know, they don't have no subjection, no authority. You know, bless God, I'm the man of God. I'm the preacher. You know, I'm this and that. That's sickening to me. I'm sorry to say. And I think a man needs to find himself under a man of God, under a minister, and he needs to get indoctrinated, he needs to get taught, and he needs to see the willing to submit. And if he can't ever learn to do that, that's why they build churches to have people that will not submit to him, because they never learned submission. Come on, saints. We're talking the word of God. Amen. Romans 13, stay with me. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Well, that'd be nice to stop there. I ain't going to submit to you, preacher, and everything. The Bible said right there that there's no other power. I done told you I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm one with him. It's not me speaking, but it's Christ speaking. What are you going to do with that? What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you done unto him. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the scriptures when it said that they're sick and afflicted among you because you don't know how to discern the body of God? Come on now. But let's go on here. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God for good. But to thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers of continuing upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." I could go on there. There's some wonderful reading on down the rest of that passage. But brethren, this is what we have to learn, how God works. We've made God. We've made a fairy tale God. Saints, this is what we've done. We've made a fairy tale God. You know, we get upset about the world creating a Santa Claus. We get upset with the world for creating an Easter bunny. But I'm telling you what, we've made a fairy tale God. Do you remember the Apostle Paul dealt with an unknown God over at Ephesus? He dealt with an unknown God. America has got an unknown God today, saints of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not America. I'm a son of God. I'm from the kingdom of God. Amen. I know who my king is. I know who my God is. And it's not an unknown God. We know who this God is. Do you know him? You know his name? Let me ask you a question for a moment now. If I ask any of you here tonight, I think everybody would probably raise their hand and said yes. I'd say, Sister Hannah, do you know who Obama is? Do you? Okay, she knows him. Sister Barbara, you know who Obama is? Don't tell me what you think about him. Just said, do you know him? Huh? Brother Ed, you know who Obama is? Brother Bob? Sister Rebecca? Okay, I think everybody here knows who Obama is. But if I was over at the Oval Office right now, if he's not on the golf course, okay? But if I was over at the Oval Office right now and I said, hey, Mr. President, sir, do you know Hannah Whitlow? He'd probably say, let me think about it a minute. I don't think so. And I said, oh, okay. Well, she knows you. Do you know a wonderful sister over there lives in Thomasville, very dedicated and faithful saint of God? Her name is Sister Barbara Rassico. He might say, that's an unusual name. But I don't think I know her. Well, she knows you. And how about Brother Bob Campbell? He said he knew you. Do you know him? No. You see, this is the way it's going to be with Jesus. Be a lot of people. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. So if I ask every questioner, do you know Jesus? Say, oh, I know Jesus. He's the one that come and died on the cross for me. He's the one that come and shed his blood. He's the one that died. And you could all say that. But then I say, does he know you? You see, the Bible said that he knows everything. All knowing. But then he said in his word, I never knew you. Well, that's confusing. It don't make sense. It said that Joseph didn't know Mary until after Jesus was born. What is that knowing speaking about? He had no sexual or marriage relationship with Mary until Jesus. Well, she was a virgin when Jesus Christ was born. The Catholic Church said she was a virgin when she took her last breath, but that's not the truth. She had children by Joseph. Okay? She was no longer a virgin. That doesn't defile the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one iota. Amen? None. But what I'm trying to tell you is the scripture used the same word knowing there that Joseph did not know Mary. There was no intimate relationship. Now when the Lord comes back, he could tell you the number of hairs on your head, the amount of times your heart beat. He could tell you how many nostril hairs are in your nose. Okay? I know I say silly things sometimes, but just getting your attention. He knows everything. Come on now. But he said, I never knew you. What he was saying there, that seed never went into you. You never entered into that secret chamber. And if you don't enter into that secret chamber and that seed going into the seed that remaineth in us is what keeps us from sin. And brethren, if you're kept from sin, then you're kept from death. If you're going to have sin, you're going to have death. If you have no sin, then you have life. There's no life in sin. The sting of sin is death. So the thing is, you got to come to this revelation. So if you want God to know you, that means that you're going to have to be washed and you're going to enter into this chamber. Who done the washing? He did. Who prepared you? He did in his foreknowledge. He said, make your calling and election sure. You know, you say, well, what does that mean? See, in the once saved, always saved doctrine, where I tell you I've been saved one time and that's all it's going to be. You know, these preachers that think, oh, I got saved, you know, in the 1982 revival meeting, you know, brother Billy Graham himself, he laid hands on me and he told me to say this prayer. Man, I said, I got saved then, but I fell away. I went out, man, snorting, drinking, lying, cheating and all that. And man, then I seen him again over here 8 years later and I got saved again, praise God. That's impossible. I like mocking devilish stuff, demonic ignorance. Hey, our Pentecostals ain't no better. They come in and they start pleading the blood of Jesus over people. You know, come on now. You know, they said, oh yeah, it's under the blood, Mr. Deacon. You know, they've been the deacon in the church for 19 years and he's been saved 38 times. Gets saved at every camp meeting. The deacon. Come on now. Go in the books over at the Baptist church and read how many people they had saved this year. Oh, we had 317 people saved over here at the First Baptist Church at the backslid. And they're running 27 people. I'm mocking, okay? I understand what I'm doing. I know perfectly well what I'm doing. I'm trying to mock you a little bit for you to get out of your ignorant ideology of what salvation is. Oh, but I said a prayer. I've heard a lot of people say prayers. I've had people come to me, man, I've had a breakthrough last night, man, I've received faith, brother. Man, I had a breakthrough, the petition is granted unto me, man, it's going to be given to me. And I felt no faith in my spirit at all from them. And I questioned myself, God, have I not made contact, but it didn't come to pass? Somewhere we got to get a hold of faith. I don't know, some might need a faith for a financial miracle. Some might need faith to open up a womb and bring forth a child. Some might need faith for being set free from alcohol or set free from drugs or set free from bondage. Amen? Set free from warring in your mind and the enemy. You see, when we read about the Bible, it said some have been turned over to the tormentors. Come on now. Oh, that's going to be on the other side. That's a lie from hell. Let me tell you, there's tormenting spirits that'll torment you tonight. They'll torment you tomorrow. They'll torment you and they'll have you tore out of the frame and you're walking in despair. You're walking in defeat. Amen. I'm not going to be tormented by no devil because I've got authority over spirits, brothers and sisters. Amen. Just because you're having a bad day, if it makes me have a bad day, then I got no strength. But your bad day ain't going to create me a bad day. Your bad day, I'm going to say, you know, praise God if that's what you want to do, but I chose this day to serve my God. Come on now, saints. I chose today to serve my Lord. I chose this day to be walking in the Spirit of God. I chose this day to be glad in it. Hallelujah. Amen. We sing about these things, but I choose, amen, to be glad in it. Hallelujah. I choose to have the joy of the Lord. I choose to walk in the power. Make a choice who you're going to serve. It's up to you. I can't blame my wife if I'm having a bad day. Well, if she would have been nice to me, it would have been a lot easier to have a good day. No. Amen. Come on now, am I right? I'm talking about two worlds now. If I'm in the flesh, she's going to affect me. If I'm in the spirit and she's having a bad day, guess what? I've got the power to confess and to bring her into a better day. It's all right, Ben. I'm sorry that you're not feeling well. Amen. Let's trust. Let's believe. She knows how to press over. She'll press over and press over. Oh, yeah, she's married to a jerk here. Hey, we know that. Yeah. Somebody's got a soul. Somebody's got the Holy Ghost. Amen. She's married to a jerk and she loves it. Come on now. You know, there's one thing about this jerk. Is that there's a lot of jerks in this world and they just don't know they're jerks, but I do know. What am I talking after the flesh? All men's hearts are fashioned like, you know, men, brethren, come on, we're all a bunch of jerks. Come on, let's get real, brother. We're a bunch of jerks. We need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and born again and let God lead us, let God direct us, and let God have His way in us. Amen. Otherwise, it's all flesh, it's all corruption, and we're all a bunch of jerks. Amen. We're all selfish. It's all about me. It's all about my world. It's all about my thing and what I'm doing and who I am, and we're all jerks, okay? Bible says, well, all men's hearts are fashioned like, all men are jerks. If you can't receive that, get over it. You're still a jerk. If you're mad and upset with me, that proves you're a jerk. If you're offended, it even more so proves you're a jerk. Okay? All right. So now I've numbered myself with the jerks. I'm a man. Okay? But I'm going to crucify the jerk. Okay? I'm going to crucify his thoughts. I'm going to crucify his desires. I'm going to crucify his career. I'm going to crucify his ambitions. And I'm going to let Christ live. Amen. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. So I'm going to bring forth the attributes of Jesus, his will, his desires. Amen. And then we're going to find that the tormenting spirits and the torment that come along with being a jerk are going to be done away with. We're going to get rid of those things. Why did you choose to submit to that? Why did you choose to submit to being tore up? Why did you choose to submit to being oppressed? Why did you choose to submit to being down? Amen? Sons of God ain't down. They're walking in heavenly places. They're walking up in the high places. Amen? And they're walking in the power of God and a sound mind. Amen? So if you're not doing that, you need to check up. It's somebody's fault but your own. Come on now. If all men's hearts are fashioned like, I'm not no different than you are. That's the way I talk to people. I'm no different than you. Come on, I'm no different. I feel your infirmities. I know your weaknesses. I know your failures. I'm a man. Come on now. I know what your weaknesses are. You know, when a man starts going around, boy, I'm somebody, boy, I'll tell you what, I know more Bible than you do, and I read my Bible more than you do. I pray more than you do. I'd say, shut up. That's the way I feel about it. I'm sorry to say that. I just say, shut up. Because you know what? I want to see the manifestation of your reading. Amen. I want to see the manifestation of your prayer. Oh, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, the heaven, and speaking tongues since 1920. And I say, well, praise God. What have you done since 1920? Huh? You got old, fat, and ugly. Have you done anything for God, sir? You know, I'm mocking a little bit, yes, but come on. What did we get filled with the Holy Ghost for? Why did we get filled with the Holy Ghost, brother? You know, if a man goes and joins the army, he gives him a soldier uniform, and they give him a gun for a purpose. And they give him a helmet for a purpose. Why did God give us the weapons of warfare? Why did he give us a sword of the Spirit, a shield of faith? Why did he give us a helmet of salvation? Why did he shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel? Why do we have this belt of truth and a breastplate of righteousness? For we could sit around going, no, I'm praying. Praying is direction from the commander-in-chief to go to where to fight at. Amen. That's what the prayer life is for. Not for somebody to come take care of you. Oh, I'm praying because I want more rations. Please send more rations. Oh, I want the kind without salt. Come on now, saints. What is our prayer life for? To get girded up and equipped and empowered for we can fight this fight of faith. Amen. We're in a battle. I don't like this sissified wimp Christianity. I'm sorry. I don't like it. You know, people, when they come to present the gospel to you, oh, well, everything will be better when you get saved. I don't preach that gospel. I say prepare yourself, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. Man, you're going to join into an army. This ain't for sissies and wimps. Amen. This is for men. This is for people that get gird up their loins. Sisters, I'm talking to you the same way. You're going to gird up your loins in Christ, amen. And you're going to walk in authority and power of the Holy Ghost. This ain't for wimps. It ain't. In the spiritual realm, the Bible said that all of the unseen things of the spirit realm are revealed to us by the things which are seen. And we got sissies in the spirit realm, but they're not in the spirit of God. This is why perversion's so bad. This is why we got homosexuals and lesbians in this day. For we could see the spiritual wickedness and the spiritual perversions. A man is supposed to be a man. A woman's supposed to be a woman. When you got a woman with a masculine spirit, thus saith the Lord, it's a devil every time. Oh, but she was just with the nature of a tomboy. No, it's a devil. You name the devil Tom? I don't care. It's a devil. You say, ah, this is meddling a little bit. No, I'm telling you. And when you got a little boy and he's a little bit feminine, come on now. And he talks a little bit feminine, he's a little bit sissy, daddy better start girding him up a little bit. It's a spirit, because little boys ain't supposed to be that way. Oh, I know in your culture you're going to go through all your psychology and say, well, you know, God made us. God didn't make no perverts. He didn't make no sissies. He didn't make no lesbians. That's the God of this world created them. He perverted their spirit. We're going to guard over our spirits, brethren. If you're going to come to this work and come to this church, you're going to learn to be a man. You're going to learn to be a lady. I don't like swapping things around. That's what you're going to learn to be. Amen? Because that's God's way. Amen? God wants real men. Real men love the Lord Jesus Christ. Real men follow the Lord. Real men love their wives. Real men take care of their wives. Real men don't speak ugly to their wives. Real men don't call them names and down them and speak to them terribly bad. Real men don't do that. Come on now. You know, this is simple stuff here. I'm just talking about, let's bring this Christianity to manifestation. Let's quit talking about the Word, quoting the Word and praying and saying we're praying without manifesting it. Your prayer life ain't done you no good until you start bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. I pray, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, give me the fruit of the Spirit. Give me love, joy, and peace and a sound mind. Lord God, let me walk in the Spirit. Amen. Let me know how to have meekness, and let me know how to suffer the wrong. Let me know how to be kind. Charity vaunteth not itself. Amen. Charity is kind. Charity thinketh no evil. So how can I say I got the love of God when I'm thinking evil of my wife? How can I say I got the love of God when I'm thinking evil of my husband? Come on, we don't even think in those realms. We are the sons of God. We've got authority over our thoughts. We cast down every vain thought and we start speaking life in the Spirit, brethren. We start speaking through the profession of faith. The doctor says you're sick. The doctor says you're dying. And you say, you know what? All doctors are liars, but my word and my God is true. And every man be a liar. My God says I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I believe that and I speak life. And they say, but you're sick. I say, no, it's life. And they say, but you're dying. No, it's life. Amen. And then one day they say, wow, it manifested. Faith comes to substance. What is faith? Read about it. It's invisible. The Spirit of God is invisible. It's a substance, but we got to bring it to substance. Then it becomes faith when it's the substance. So, you know, the invisible, you say, brother, you're sick in your body. You don't see the healing. I've seen the healing because I looked beyond the veil of the sickness and I saw the healing. And all of a sudden the doctor said, no, I got an x-ray here. Dude, I got a blood test here. I said, I don't care about that. That's a lie. That's a lying vanity. I see beyond the veil and I see life. I see strength. I see health. I see healing. And then one day I go back in there and they said, my God, the blood test come back and you don't have that. And I said, I tried to tell you that a long time ago, doc. I tried to tell you that. You say, my husband's sick. You say, my wife is sick. I say, no, I see beyond the veil. Amen. I see health. I see happiness. I see strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Oh, my son's a devil. My son's going to hell. I say, no, I can see the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's call it forth in Jesus' name. He's the high priest of my profession. Do you believe? Who's your profession in? What did he say to him? He said, who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? Don't be bewitched. Amen. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the vanity. Amen. Start believing the word. Amen. A brother came to a place called Bethlehem, Manny's father. He was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. He would walk out to his car. And he'd get over here to the car and he'd come around the car to the driver's door. Most people open the driver's door, they get in, drive off. He'd come around the driver's door and he'd open it, close it. Then he'd walk around backwards around the car. He'd go around to the back door over on this side and he'd open up the door. He'd turn around, he'd get in the car. He'd get in the back seat. He's all by himself. He'd get out of the car, walk around backwards around the car this side. And I said, what are you doing? He said, hey, I don't want the devil to know when I'm leaving and things like that, so I'm trying to, you know, fool the devil. And he'd do that and he'd get a car and drive off. But he came around Brother Pike. He had a list of things from the doctors. This was a highly educated man, been in college. But his demon spirits, they had a hold of his mind. Brother Pike said, sir, who lied to you? Who told you that you had paranoid schizophrenia? Who lied to you, sir? That's a lie. Let every doctor and let every man and let every psychologist be a liar. My God's word is true, thus saith the Lord. And he said he did not give me a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And I receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to speak that life into everybody I can. And somebody's going to believe in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. My God's real. Let me tell you about that schizophrenic man now. He's raised a family. He's held down a job. He's been very successful. How many years ago was that? This has been, how old are you, Manny? You're 31. So 35 years ago, Brother Chuck? 1974. Came in there, and somebody believed and had faith. Aren't you thankful for men of God? Come on, we got the power to speak the word of God. We got the power to speak the word and see it come to pass. Amen? Somebody say, I ain't no good. I got a man on a bus right now. He's going to be here at 7 o'clock in the morning. He's no good. He's nothing but a dope addict. He's nothing but a thief. He's nothing but a robber. He's done nothing but lied. He's doped and done all those things. And I say, I see the makings for a son of God. Come on now. Who in here can lose faith? Who in here hasn't failed? Come on now. Oh, what if he comes in here and robs us again, Brother Rob? And I say, I've counted all joy. Amen. That I was doing something is under the Lord. Amen. And if somebody takes something away from me as I'm doing something that's under God, God will add back 10 times. Come on, I believe that. It's the Word of God. And if you're so afraid of your substance and afraid of your things, brethren, you're going to lose it anyway. Amen. We got men that are looking this direction that's been in sexual perversion and sin. Amen. We open the doors to homosexuals in this church. We don't allow them to stay homosexuals. We cast the devil out of that. We don't allow them to remain pedophiles. We cast them devils out of them. And they get restored and renewed into a sound mind and they walk. Oh, yes. We don't put them with children. We don't put men that's never had part with children. We don't put men with women in this church. We keep segregation here. So you don't have to worry about things getting out of order. Amen. Because if I allowed men and women to intermingle, when the perverts come in here, they're going to say, hey, this brother's doing it. I got the liberty too. That's why we keep segregation. Come on now, saints. We keep things decent and in order. When a brother leaves his wife over here to work in the church, if she's going to be working on tracks or something like that, it's going to be decent and it's going to be order. Amen. And there's not going to be men down there. So a man ain't worried about it, about his wife being left here. Amen? I told Brother Anson this. I just want people to know where Brother Rob's at. I told his wife. You know, these are my friends. They're family to us, brother. And this is part of our family. I'm thankful and glad to have him. But I said, sister, coordinate with my wife before you come over to use my washing machine. Make sure that I'm not home by myself over there and she's over here. That's improper. But see, if she would have done that, would have made her bad? No. She has to be taught. Hey, this is the way we do things here. You see, this is what we call teaching and training. Yes. Well, we're Christians. I don't see that it matters. I know a lot of Christian pastors run off with women. Come on now. Well, what, you don't have no confidence in yourself? My Bible said no confidence in the flesh. Okay? So this is why, but let's say that I do have confidence in myself. And I have confidence in a sister or whatever. Okay, so then I say, well, it's okay. You know, we could come together because we got the Holy Ghost. We got the love of God and we would never violate. But like I said, what about when the whoremonger comes in? Come on now. What about when the silly woman laden with lust, as the Bible said, it's subverting whole households, comes in? And if we're all intermingling, we got problems. So we keep it nipped at the bud. Amen. I'm just teaching, brother, for we know where we're at and why we do the things that we do. It isn't a violation or an accusation against anybody. It's say we're going to keep all things proper and all things decent and all things in order. Amen. That's God's way. He said it's not proper for a man to touch a woman. So let's keep things in order with God. See, but again, as I started out, and I'm going to close here right directly. It's line upon line. If it's not proper for a man to touch a woman, brother, I've seen women come into altars and you, brethren, as men of God, lay hands on them. I say, yes, we've done that. We also got the word of God saying, let the elders lay hands on them and anoint them with oil. And it's all done decently. So we got to take the scriptures and we see, it isn't that we manipulate the word of God or use private interpretation for our own need. We got to get the revelation of the word and what it's for. You understand that? We got to get the revelation of the word. And we get this revelation of the word and what it's speaking and what dimension it's speaking in. I tell people that listen and tune in, and I tell people here when they come here, I say, before you disagree with me, first find out, I want you to know what dimension I'm speaking in. I teach, brethren, I want you that are listening, I teach that we're gods. Now see, that'd make a lot of people want to run. Am I saying this man right here is a god? This man's a man. It's appointed a man to die. But you see, brethren, if I'm the new creature and I got a heavenly father, which is God, and he's my father, he begets after his kind. the Bible said you put an apple seed in the ground. It says they, you know, let the seed, I'm paraphrasing, it said the seed that goes in the earth, let it reproduce after its kind, right? That's what the Bible says, right? So if I put an apple seed in the ground, I expect an apple tree. Is that right? Orange in the ground, I get an orange tree, right? Okay. So that's the water seed relative to the first dimension of the water world. So if I go into the second dimension, the blood, physical blood type, this brother right here, Brother Paul's a white man. The white man's seed goes into the earthen vessel of the woman, reproduces after his kind. The Caucasian, you know, I don't want to be offensive. I'm not being a race here. A Mexican reproduces a Mexican, a colored person, or a black person, however you want to say it. I love y'all. I don't care if you're African. I don't care if you're colored, Negro. I don't care. You're my brother. I love you. So I'm not racist. But I'm just saying, you know, the people of this world have made all this racial tension and stuff, man. And I just don't want to offend nobody by saying it the wrong way. I'm just talking the revelation of the word. The Oriental man is going to bring forth an Oriental seed after its kind, right? So we see the water, the blood, and then we go over into the spirit. And the thing is that my Father, my Heavenly Father, I got a spirit, Christ, Abba Father. That seed comes in and reproduces after its kind. He's God, the eternal God. And I become one with him. So you see, the Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. I'm speaking by the Spirit. I'm the new creature. The first man was a man. Now, if I tell you he's a God, that's blasphemous. He's a man created after the earth and to go back to the dust. That's man. So I can speak to you as a man. Yeah, I'm a man pointed unto death, corruption. Okay, but Paul said, I'd like to speak to you as unto spirituals. I don't want to talk to you like a man. I want to talk to you in hope and faith and charity and strength and God. I want to talk to you and say, you're that new creature in Christ. You're eternal, hid away in the heavens. You can't die. You pass from death unto life. Why? Because you're more than a conqueror. You know, a conqueror just conquers, but we're more than a conqueror. Amen. We're eternal. You see, I differentiated there. The first birth is a man. The second birth is from heaven. Okay? So then we start differentiating flesh now. We got beast flesh, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15. We got some fish flesh, beast flesh. And it goes on talking about telestial and celestial bodies. What do you see right here? What are you looking at here? It's vanity. This is telestial. It's fleshly body. But when this thing goes through the glorification, the metamorphosis, the transfiguration, guess what it is then? It's no longer telestial. It was sown in iniquity but raised in power. It was sown telestial but raised celestial. It was sown, you know, in this death, but it's resurrected in life. Spirit flesh, spirit bodies. It's different. The transfigured Jesus Christ, when he came forth, they didn't recognize him. Hey, the ones that walked with him every day, he walked among them and they said, our hearts burned inside and they realized who he was. Why? Because he resurrected in a different form, brethren. You need to understand that. Where's he at today? Where's his resurrection at today? Oh, he's up there in heaven. Where are you at? I'm up there in heaven. But you realize that I'm the resurrection and you're the resurrection? You need to realize that. But what did they say to Jesus now? He's the firstborn of many brethren, but when the sister asked him, Mary, talking about Lazarus, oh, you're talking about in the resurrection. What did he say? This was before his crucifixion. This was before his resurrection. And he said, you're talking about in the resurrection. What did he say? What did he say, saints? He said, I am the resurrection. Now, I stand here before you today and say, I am the resurrection. Say, oh, you know, Brother Rob, come on, man. You know, come on, Brother Rob. You know, you're just a man just like me. No, that man was crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. What is in faith? It's invisible to you. But it becomes a substance. And I believe the word of God that if I don't bring God in the flesh, I'm Antichrist. The Bible said if you don't believe that God is, not was, God is in the flesh, you're Antichrist. Listen to me, saints. So God is in my flesh. God is in your flesh if you're born of God. And if he's in your flesh, amen, then you believe the word to be true. And you're no longer Antichrist. Now let's call forth that power of him dwelling in you. Let's call forth that power of a sound mind. Let's call forth that power of the resurrection. Let's call forth that power of love and joy and peace and tranquility. Amen. Let's call forth that power of long-suffering, patience, and gentleness. Let's call forth that power of thinking no evil. Anything outside of that, we're in another mind. We're in the flesh. We're in the mind of man. We're in the mind of humanity. In the mind of death. Amen? Amen. The carnal mind is death and enmity with God. The carnal mind doesn't believe. The carnal mind can't believe. The carnal mind is negative. The carnal mind hates. The carnal mind does away. But the mind of Christ speaks and calls forth and speaks light. We are the light. We take things that are in darkness and speak light. And we speak life. When he come to this world, and you go in Genesis 1, he was creating man. You say he was creating the earth, Brother Rob. Everything fits in a perfect pattern, God. The earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And he said, let there be light. Amen. And saw that the light was good. And he's seen old Brother Rob in darkness of his carnal mind and in void and darkness upon the face of my deep. He could have said, what a wretched hunk of junk. What a wretched hunk of dirt. But he said, you know what? I'm going to create that. Amen. Look at that potter with the clay and you see a big old square blunk of blunk. And you think, that's ugly. And then he molds it. And he kicks that old wheel, gets that thing going, and he molds that thing in, and all of a sudden you got a masterpiece. What are you talking about? I'm talking about me, a son of God. I'm a masterpiece from God. So are you, brother. Can you believe that? I'm God's masterpiece, amen. Created in the heavens, hallelujah. Created, and he shed his blood to make this. Can you believe who you are? Come on, you guys act like you ain't believing this. What's wrong with y'all? Do you believe that you're God's masterpiece? Do you believe that you're God's touch-me-nots? Do you believe that God gave you everything that pertained unto life? Do you believe that you're his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish? And you're the beauty and the thing that beholds his eye? And that he calls you into the secret chambers? You better know the beauty of holiness. You better know the beauty of Christ's bride, amen. That you can walk in the Spirit and walk into that room and the scepter's been handed out to you. And you say, here I am, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Let's stand together, saints of God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Come on, saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I like messages like this. Amen. I believe it. Brother Andy, you believe it? Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Brother John, you believe it? All right. How about you, Sister Rebecca? Sister Irene, you believe it? Sister Stephanie, y'all love the Lord? Amen. Hannah, you believe this? Is this just, say yes, sir, I believe this. All right. Say thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Amen. I like that. Drea, you believe this? Yes. John?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, amen, sir. All right. Anybody here not believe this? Does anybody in here not believe that they're a son of God or a child of God? I mean, be honest. I mean, I want to make my call and election sure.
Amen.
Amen. And everything that he's got pertaining to eternal life is for the sons of God. You understand that? That's right. The sons of God are what's relative to the throne. You realize that? We're the heirs to the throne. So we got to believe this. Amen. Brother Ed, before you go in there, you believe this?
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Amen. I needed to hear that. Y'all love the Lord? You have a good time?
Amen.
Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. I love coming to church. And you say, well, you let me up there and preach and you sit out there, you wouldn't love it so much. Man, I tell you what, I love being with the brethren.
Amen.
Did you have a good time with Brother Ed Sunday?
Sure did.
Man, wonderful time.
He's a fine brother.
He is. He come all the way from Washington just to fellowship with
that's
you.
Awesome,
like
that.
That's a great thing. Amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus another hand. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's sing a song.
Every
we'll close the service.
Promise in the book, it is mine.
You believe it? I believe in every promise is mine. If I'm going to sing that song, I'm going to believe it. Amen. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. Amen. He's given me authority and power over the serpent. Amen. Hallelujah. I got all authority and power. I believe that. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil ruin my day, brother. I'm not going to let him rob my joy. I'm not going to let him take my salvation. Why? Because I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. And I got authority over him. Amen. And I believe what I'm saying. Amen. It's my profession. Somebody say, I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. I'm eternal in the heavens. Glory be to God. My name is in the book of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
promise in the book is mine.
Every promise, Brother John.
Every verse and every line.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I'm trusting in God's word divine.
Thank you, Lord.
Every promise in the book, it is mine.
Hallelujah.
Every promise in the book, it is mine.
Thank you, Lord.
Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in God's word divine.
Thank you, Lord.
Every promise in the book, it is mine.
Hallelujah. Brethren, it's time to make this translation. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things taking place in your world and in your country that are happening right now. Amen. That are very significant. Very significant things. Why is the guy's name Wise that's coming, Brother John? Why is it a wise that's coming here right now? And what does wise have to do with?
Wise men.
You know, and when we start thinking of those kind of things, like you say, the wise men brought in this birth, didn't it? I told the rights. I said their name being right. You know, having to do with righteousness. And how come they had to be as far west as you can go in this country, right up on the north of the Canadian border, which has to do with Canaan? Why does it have to be from right there? And they come all the way across to the east, right here to a place called Christian Temple. What does Christian Temple have to do with? What does this city of refuge have to do with Mount Gilead being right here on Mount Gilead Road? You know, and just simply because the law and the prophets were unto John, and who brought forth John was Elizabeth. So then a little Elizabeth comes all the way across the country. Why is that? Why are those things happening? What does it have to do with? What does it show in the overall thing? The brother came in and he said this thing went all the way to the west. He preached a message about going all the way out to the west. And I say, man, it went as far west as it's going. It's heading back to the east now. Amen. The reconciliation back, or going all the way back to the Jew. You see, we Gentiles were reconciled in by the casting out of the Jew, but it's time for the Jews to come back in. And why was it Emmanuel, the Jew, that went all the way out there, and when they printed his airline ticket, they didn't put Christopher on there. It said Shepherds Emmanuel Christ. Why did it say that? And why was he on seat number 40 on his ride out there, when 40 has to do with the completion and right there at the beginning of a new beginning? You see, these things take place and start happening, brethren. We got to learn to see and to watch. And you reject things. I got people that are caught up in their little worlds and their little careers, and they got all this stuff going on, and they'll miss. They'll absolutely miss the translation, and they'll go through their tribulation period. I got brethren that sit here and look at me in this church. They come sporadically when they feel like it, but they will be in the tribulation period of hell. They're going to come in by fire. They'll make it in with their own blood. If they got that much strength, they'll go to hell. I'm telling you that. I know that. Because it's not in their spirit. They don't have the spirit to serve God. They don't have the spirit to be obedient to God. They're doing their own thing. They're fleshly. And they're doing what they want to do. You know, brethren, sons of God don't do what they want to do. They're commanded by Jesus. We submit to Him. The Bible said to make it into His kingdom, we got to become as a little child. Amen. A little child doesn't say, Daddy, I'm staying all night at Donnie's tonight or Jesse's or, you know, whatever. They don't say that. They go say, Father. This is what we do. We're little children. We say, Father, here I am. Here I am. Use me. I lay my life down. And I give it as a living sacrifice. I get my mind, my thoughts, my desires out of the way. Amen. Thank you for adequate time tonight. I'm just talking with you, ministering to you, preaching, teaching, trying to get you skirted up, strengthened up. Brethren, we got to have the strength of God. Amen. We need one another. Right. I told Anson, I said, thank you for coming out here and helping Brother Rob. I need help. I need strength. I need encouragement. Amen. I say, thank you for coming out to help me. Amen. The sisters, Sister Barbara, come out today helping Sister Irene. You know, I ask. I'm inquisitive all the time. I ask questions. Amen. I ask these kind of questions. I say, well, how'd Sister Barbara do today? She said, man, she was a great help. Ain't that wonderful, Brother John? Amen. We got some come, praise don't want to do nothing. Don't want to help. Here's little sister come over and starts helping, working around the church. Isn't that commendable,
amen,
saints?
Praise
Let's
God.
Give Jesus a hand. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pray for Brother Billy. Sister Gina said that he's sick and been coming in from work, been going to work sick and coming in, and pray for him, amen, that this thing will pass by, and pray for the grandchildren there. I know he's been dealing with this thing. Gabe doing better? I read your report about your daughter, supposed to be trying to get her life back in order to get the children back. It ain't never going to happen, Mama, until they get born again. They'll never serve. They'll never line up as adults and things. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to straighten that girl up. Amen. It's going to take the Spirit of God. They won't do it on their own. They'll try, but everything, they go in the same way, and until they find themselves in eternal damnation. You say, Brother Rob, you were saying speak life. I'm telling you, that's the course they're on. We can alter that by speaking life and believing and praying and fasting. But somebody better get a hold of the altars, because they're going to find themselves in damnation if they don't get to make some changes. Little sister called me up, you know, playing around with heroin. I said, man, you don't know what they're playing. They don't know what they're playing with, do they, Brother Bob? Brother Bobby got a hold of him for many years of his life, about destroyed him. Amen. But we got power over that, don't we, Brother Bob? We could take authority. What's that? Amen. We could take authority over that. We got another young man coming in. We got one coming in tomorrow. We got another one coming in Sunday. This young man's been afflicted on drugs. He's been things, but somewhere he needs to get somebody to teach him and say, you know, we're overcomers. We got another man laying up in the hospital bed right now, poisoning himself with alcohol. See, that's what the devil's way is. We're going to try to help him, but he's going to have to start listening. He's going to have to submit and start listening. Quit trying to be macho man. When you think you could do it, man, I could take care of this, I'm a man. You ain't nothing but a sissy. Remember the message about sissies? You are a sissy. That's what you are. Until you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're a sissy. Amen. Goliath was a sissy because the little man came out there. Goliath didn't have the Holy Ghost, but a man with the power of God came and slew him.
That's right.
Or I could see some big masher man, I'll get a hold of that little preacher and snap his neck off. And I say, hallelujah, praise God, man. I'll be numbered with all the martyrs then, amen, walking right into glory. I'm not afraid of that.
That's right.
I'm not afraid of no devil.
Amen.
Amen. I had one come up in my face, man, and I told him that if he wasn't born again, he was going to go to hell, and he'd come up to me, and this guy had to be 6'8". I got a brother like 6'6", 6'7". I know what 6'8 is. This dude filled the door. He was way up there, and I guarantee this guy was this wide. And he come up and had two toolboxes, and he come up and goes, he said, look, you punk, and I'm looking right at him. He said, Jesus Christ, the new boy on the block. He said, Buddha was here before Jesus. And I said, Buddha rotted in hell with syphilis in his brains. And I said, my Savior tomb is empty. And he dropped them toolboxes. And man, he came down over me and I didn't budge one bit. I told him, I said, it's my Jesus Christ. He's my King. And he's my Lord. And everything. Praise and the man reached down, picked up his toolbox, and he got back in his truck and left. Amen. Now, let's give Jesus a hand. I ain't afraid of no devil. I was in the prison. I'm out on the grounds. They put me in the population. And I walk out with a Bible in my hand. I walked out on a basketball court. And this devil says to me, he says, hey, punk, you ain't welcome out here. And we didn't ask you to come out. You take your Bible and you could leave. And I kept walking straight to him. Had the Bible. I said, I'm here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. And I kept walking right up to him. He started walking up to me and he put his hand down. He goes, that's turned every one of them around so far. And he goes, I like you. I'll come to your Bible study. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. God ain't raising no wimps and no sissies. Amen. I'm not ashamed of my gospel. I'll proclaim the gospel. And you say, you might get your hind end kicked. I say, I'll be rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen. I will be, brother. You say, well, let's find out after church. I say, let's bring it on. Amen.
Oh, man.
I got a jawbone of the ass out there. Better watch it, huh? Y'all know what they done with that thing, huh? Hey, I still got my 7 locks, brother. I ain't been to Delilah's house, amen. All right, let's sing a song, brethren. I know I've kept y'all late. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God, amen. If you're a son of God, let's just give him a little wave offering for a second, amen. I love you,
praise
Jesus,
Lord.
And thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's sing a song. We're going to close.
Won't you come a little closer? A little bit closer. Won't you come a little closer
with the Lord? I see victory. Can you see the victory?
And your day will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
Come a little closer.
A little bit closer, won't you come a little closer to the Lord.
The altars are open tonight if you need prayer.
Heavy load will lighten. And your day will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
We're going to close right directly here.
Come a little closer.
Can you just come a little closer, amen?
Won't you come a little closer?
Thank you, Jesus. Y'all got the joy unspeakable and full of glory.
And your day will brighten.
Hallelujah.
If you come a little closer to the Lord.
I believe the word. Amen. I'm not gonna stagger one bit. You know, in that little booklet they printed called Turn from Darkness Unto Light, prayer in there, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. You know, you say, well, you think you're a righteous man because you prayed that prayer? No, that prayer ain't what made me righteous. It was the righteousness that dwelled within me from Christ that had me pray that prayer. Amen. But let me tell you something. That prayer said, I don't want to flinch standing in the face of the enemy. When I pray to God, I'll pray in weakness and say, God, make me strong. But when I stand before the devil, he ain't going to hear that kind of prayer coming out of my mouth. Amen. He's going to hear a man that says, I've been endued with all power and all authority. And Satan, you're going to shut your mouth now. Right. And you're not going to oppress me no longer. You're not going to depress me no longer. You're not going to torment my mind no longer. I say, I got all authority over you. And I say, shut up, Satan, and get you behind me. I'm serving my Lord and my King, and his word is yea and amen. Amen. His word is real. Amen. I believe his works at Calvary when he said it's finished. I believe it. And he finished it for me. Amen. Come on, saints. This is what we're going to believe. This is what we're going to speak. This is what we're going to walk in. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to give place to something that don't have no life in it. I'm going to speak life into it. I'm going to speak to the darkness and I'm going to eradicate it and call forth light. Amen. Can you get with me, saints?
Amen.
Amen. If a one could do this, then what could two of us do? We can set 10,000 a flight. Amen. Praise God. Let's pull together. Let's unify together. The Bible said we're supposed to be in one mind and one accord. We're supposed to have the same judgment, brethren. We got to have the same judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you come to school tonight, Brother Anson? Come on now, aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm coming to school and I'm going to learn how to conquer. Amen. I'm going to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I've read about and I heard about, but now I'm doing it. Amen. I'm a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. I'm a doer of the word. Have got any doers in here? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away every stain. And I will praise him, I will praise him.
You love him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can you feel that rest? I feel rest in my spirit. Y'all feel that rest?
Amen.
Y'all feel that peace? Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't feel it, just slip up your hand and say, God, let me enter into that rest. Let me enter into that peace. Amen. What a wonderful place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful place to live and to dwell. Hallelujah.
And
we'll get Brother Paul to come up and dismiss us. Pray for me. Amen. Remember Brother Dan up there in the hospital? Pray that he's going to get tired of yielding his members to the devil. You see, that's the fruit of fleshly thinking. That's the fruit of walking in carnality. You find yourself poisoned and find yourself in a hospital bed. Come on now. That's the fruit of the world. Amen. That's the fruit of carnality. That's the fruit of oppression. That's the fruit of depression. Amen. That's the fruit of feeling sorry for yourself. Come on now. We're sons of God. I don't feel sorry for myself. Man, I know who I am. Hallelujah. I came to be ridiculed. I came to be smitten. I came to be crucified. I came to get the nail prints in the house of my friends. Amen. And I count it all joy. Hallelujah. When you're down and depressed, it's because you're in the flesh. We're in the spirit. We're rejoicing in our Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him one more hand, Brother Paul. God bless y'all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.